kahit ilang ulit na postpone dala ng mga bagyo at dala ng AH1N1, karamihan ng eskwela ngayon ay fully open na at fully operational. At isang bagay na dahilan kung bakit natin tinalakay itong serye na ito ay para ipakita na ang isang mananampalataya ay naharap siya sa isang sitwasyon bilang mag-aaral na hahamunin yung kanyang pananampalataya ng mga kaisipan at paniniwala na sinasabing scientific, academic, at maitutulak siya sa pakiramdam na para bang siya'y sinauna o blind o iba't iba pang mga bagay na which will make him feel negative. In other words, pinag-uusapan natin dito yung academic objectivity at on the other hand, theological fidelity. Pwede bang pagsamahin yung dalawang bagay na yon, lalo na sa isang eskwelahan? And of course, hindi lang naman sa mga nasa eskwelahan ito, kundi lahat tayo ay tumatangkilik ng kaalaman, whether personal knowledge, self-acquired, or just exposing ourselves to the media, at iba't iba pang mga paraan, ay papasok rin itong usapin na ito. May mga maririnig ka, may mga ipinapahayag na parang ito yung findings ng siyensya. At ikaw naman may dating na ituro sa iyo, may pinanindigan ka na parang hindi tugma doon sa findings na yon, at parang hinahamon ka na what will you be? Will you just keep on holding to your theology or update yourself and be more scientific and be more academic? Well, ang pinakita natin dito from the very beginning ay we can maintain both. Sa isang secular school, dapat na panatilihin itong secular only in this sense that if it is not sectarian, it is not to prosecute, it is not to pursue a specific sectarian agenda. Kaya pag ito'y pinabayaran lalo ng public tax, yung mga public schools, hindi ito dapat magtaguyod ng isang particular na paniniwalang religious institution. Well, kalimitan, alam natin, ang tinataguyod ay the Roman Catholic Church. But even that theoretically, or at least constitutionally, ay hindi dapat. Pero dahil napakalaki ng mayorya natin ng mga Roman Catholics, yun ang nangyayari. But theoretically at least, kapag ito ay publicly paid ng tax ng bayan, dapat neutral ito sa mga usaping reliyon, at dapat lang yan. But on the other hand, we are saying that you can study in secular school and still maintain a doctrinal faith. Yung pananampalataya mo ay maaaring may panghawakang maliwanag at matibay na doktrina. And we are maintaining that we can be academically objective while at the same time theologically loyal. At ang isang dahilan niyan ay naniniwala tayo, kaawit lamang natin, "The heavens declare thy glory, Lord." So both nature as well as scripture, pareho itong revelation ng Panginoon. Ang nature, ipinapakita sa atin, when properly studied and interpreted, it shows us the majesty of God, that it calls us to worship God. And scripture, when properly understood, shows us the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. Kaya mahalagang pagsamahin natin yung dalawang bagay na yan. Both nature and scripture ay nagpapahayag ng Diyos, which means, ito yung isang mahalagang bagay, both nature and scripture can show or can convict of wrong. Pwedeng ipakita yung mali na dating paniniwala. Pwede mangyari na yung natuklasan sa nature na talagang tama ay ipakita yung maling interpretation ng scripture. At nasabi ko ang isang halimbawa niyan, yung paniniwala noon na ang mundo ang siyang sentro ng kalawakan ng universe, to the point na inusig itong si Galileo. Hindi lang inusig, talagang pinilit siyang mag-recant. At sa takot naman ni Galileo, siya ay nag-recant ng kanyang paniniwala na hindi ang mundo ang sentro ng solar system, kundi ang araw. Siya ay na-house arrest ng dahil dyan. Ito'y pinapakita na yung katotohanan ng nature, pinapakita yung kamalian ng interpretation ng scripture. Liwanagin ko, hindi kamalian ng scripture, kundi kamalian ang interpretation ng scripture. Well, gayon din naman, yung katotohanan sa scripture can also expose one's wrong assessment and interpretation of nature. So, para sa Kristiyano, he can both be academically objective while theologically committed. And, ibig sabihin, yung commitment natin sa ating paniniwala ay dapat lalong maging dahilan at motivasyon para magpakahusay tayo sa ating akademya, sa ating academics. So, again, an appeal to the students here, let your beliefs that have sustained you in your paglaki ninyo ay ito ang dapat maging hamon sa inyo na magpakahusay, magpakagaling sa inyong pag-aaral sapagkat yung paniniwalang Kristiyano hindi ito hadlang sa mga pag-aaral sa secular. Now, magtatapos tayo sa ilang philosophical propositions and two practical implications of this. Muli, nagpapasalamat ako sa ating resource persons nung nakaraang dalawang linggo because nagpakita ito ng this principle we're saying in action. In action, one can be theologically committed, walang isinusuko sa kanilang paniniwala, ngunit nagpapakahusay sa kanilang larangan ng pag-aaral. So from there, I make the following conclusions. First, sa level tayo ng pag-iisip, ng pilosopiya, sa tamang larangan ng pilosopiya, three philosophical propositions. Unang-una, God is the foundational presupposition in all knowledge. No, bawat knowledge, merong presupposition. Ibig sabihin, may mga bagay na ipinapalagay na. In order for you to pursue that field of knowledge, ay may ipinapalagay ka na sa iyong field of knowledge. Now, para sa atin lahat ng fields of knowledge, lahat ng larangan ng kaalaman, ang tamang presupposition, ang dapat na ipalagay, ay ang Diyos. Pag sinabi nating ipalagay, ang ibig sabihin po niyan ay hindi subject to proof. This is something we accept as a matter of revelation and we accept by faith, not because it was proven to us. Now, hindi ko sinasabing walang saysay yung mag-prove. It can have its place, especially nakikipag-debate ka sa mga taong arrogante sa kanilang kaalaman. You can use these things. But as far as real object of knowledge, God is a presupposition, not an object of proof. O doon sa mga mahilig sa filosofiya, ang sinasabi rin ay this is a priori knowledge instead na a posteriori. Ayan, lang sa mahilig mag-filosofiya. Pero ang punto rito ay, this is something we do not need to prove. This is something we accept on faith because revealed to us. Anong makikita natin to sa scripture? God is not a subject of proof in scripture. There is no formal introduction, walang formal na pagpapatunay na may Diyos sa kasulatan. How does the Bible begin? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. May isang commentator nagsabi, as a beginning, it was rude. Meaning, there was not even, may I introduce myself? Just, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, God is simply to be accepted or rejected, which is, of course, your responsibility. Kaya, ang makikita natin dito ay hindi object ng proof ang Diyos sa Biblia. Ito ay pagpapahayag ng sarili niya. And therefore, the subject of God is not the product of scientific experimentation. Eh, maraming mga gumagawa nito. Again, I'm not saying that this is, there are certain occasions when it can have a purpose for showing consistency with the presupposition. Hindi para gawing proof. Pero ang punto rito ay, hindi subject ng experimentation ang Panginoon. Na tingnan natin kung may Diyos, ito dapat ang mga conditions na masasatisfy. At pag walang Diyos, ito ang mga conditions na masasatisfy. Well, in the first place, who sets the conditions? Who are you? Who am I to set the conditions? In the language of Romans chapter 9, taken from Isaiah, who are you who replies against God? Who are you, O man, who replies against God? Sino kang sasagot sa Diyos? Kaya itong ibig sabihin, hindi natin siya pwedeng i-subject sa experimentation, dahil pag sinabi mong experimentation, yun nga, meron kang set of conditions, either or, and pag nagawa ka na ng set of conditions, ay inilalagay mo siya sa ilalim ng iyong set of conditions. And we cannot have that for our belief in God. Belief in God is the result of God's revelation, which is both, sinabi na natin, natural and scriptural. Nakarating tayo sa paniniwala sa Diyos by nature, including ourselves. Natural sa tao ang maniwala sa Diyos. In fact, hindi niya matatakasan ang paniniwala niya sa Diyos maliban na kanyang supilin. Yan ang sabi ng Romans chapter 1. They know God, pero anong ginawa? They suppress that knowledge. So naturally, man knows God by nature, and then in a special way by scripture. At hindi ito by way of subjecting to proof. Kaya there is something wrong fundamentally in believing in God by sheer logic. Kapag may naririnig kayong tao na ang paniniwala sa niya sa Diyos ay dahil satisfied yung logic niya, magsuspect sa kayo sa ganun. Again, there is a place for proper logic sa mga usaping paniniwala ng Kristiyano, pero pag sa usapin ng Diyos, God is the ultimate presupposition. You don't subject Him to your logical proof. Maraming gumawa niyan sa kasaysayan. Hanggang ngayon sa theology, isa yan sa pinagtatalunan. Ano ang pinaka-ultimong proof daw na wala nang takas na tiyak mapapatunayan mo ang Diyos. Marami nang sinuggest na ganyang the ultimate proof. But almost always, they'll find a loophole. And the point is simply to say na He's not subject of logical proof. He is revelation. He revealed Himself, and by revealing Himself, siya ay makikilala natin sa pamagitan ng pagtanggap ng kanyang ipinahayag sa sarili. Ito naman ay isang bagay na nakikita natin sa sarili nating karanasan. Kapag may gusto kang makilalang tao, the higher that person goes up, on top of you, eh, kinakailangan nasa kanyang initiative na magpakilala. May mga taong nandyan lang sa lansangan na pwede mo makilala by sheer observation. But in the case of those who are higher up, dapat mag-initiate siyang magpakilala. Pagdating sa Diyos mismo, paano mo sa palagay makikilala ang Diyos? Kinakailangan magpakilala siya. At yan ang tinatawag nating revelation. So the way we know God is not experimentation, not logical deduction, not sheer observation. It's revelation. And if you don't accept that revelation, you can have some idea of God, but it will never come up to a biblical God. At ang isang bagay na ibig sabihin nito, mag-ingat tayo sa anumang pag iisip ng Diyos na gawin lamang natin siyang subject natin. Because that will be playing God. This is the one subject, this is the one concept na you are the subject. You put yourself under whatever you study. So to make God merely our subject is that folly, the folly of playing gods. Maraming ganyan na sinaway sa biblical history, panahon ng Israel, panahon ng Bagong Tipan, and the idea is you come back to God according to His revelation, and in the New Testament, the fullest of that revelation, according to 2 Corinthians 4, is in the face of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 18, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, He has revealed Him. Kaya pagdating na sa Bagong Tipan, the way to know God in the most personal way is through Jesus Christ, not logic or anything else. So yan ang una nating philosophical proposition. God is the foundational presupposition in all knowledge. Ikalawa, all fields of human knowledge have continuing accumulation and finite limitation. Now, parang contradictory ito. Sinasabi natin, lahat ng larangan ng kaalaman, tuloy-tuloy ang pagtuklas ng kaalaman dyan. Habang narito tayo sa lupa, hindi matatapos ang pagkatuklas ng kaalaman dyan. But having said that, sinabi ko na yan ay limited. There is limitation in all fields of human knowledge. It's finite limitation. Anong ibig sabihin natin yan? Well, papaliwanag ko. Ang ibig sabihin, pagdating sa anumang larangan ng kaalaman, the final note of conclusion has not been arrived at in any branch of discipline. Meron sa inyo rito, nasa larangan ng forestry, organizational communication, at biology, mathematics, art, iba't ibang mga larangan. Sa larangan na yan, ang sinasabi natin ay huwag mong isipin na nakuha na lahat ng malalaman. There will always be something to discover in your field. Ay, kung hindi naniwala dyan yung mga nauna sa atin, hanggang ngayon, para tayo gamutin, pinapadugo pa tayo. Alam nyo, nung second or third century, ang pinakatinitingala na ama ng paggagamot ay si Jalen. At itong si Jalen, siya ang nagbigay ng teorya ng four humors. Apat, hindi to humor na katatawanan, kundi apat na uri ng fluid meron tayo, at para magkaroon ng balanse ang katawan natin, kinakailangan na magbalanse yung mga fluid na yan. So gumawa siya ng teorya niya, kapag ganito ang sakit, ito ang dalawang uri ng fluid na hindi nagbabalanse, kaya kinakailangan pagbalansehin. Kaya ang pinakanaging approach nila sa medicine noon ay bloodletting. Ibig sabihin, magpadugo para mabawasan ng fluid na sumusobra, para magbalanse yung mga fluid. Now, do you know that that kind of medical theory was held for 1,000 years? Mahigit 1,000 taon, pinanghawakan yung paniniwala na yan. Kaya andyan yung mga makikita mo sa mga documents na kasaysayan, talagang pinadudugo, meron pang binubutas ang skull para lang mabalanse yung kanilang mga fluid. Kung nabasa niyo yung popular na aklat ni Tim LaHaye ng Four Temperaments, batay ito sa ganitong kalokohan, yung phlegmatic, melancholic, choleric, etc. Dito galing ito. Hindi ito Biblia. Pero 1,000 taon na ito ang namayaning paniniwala. Until dumating si Andreas Vesalius, ang ginawa niya, binuksan niya yung cadaver. Talagang in-examine niya. And for the first time, talagang nakita yung loob ng katawan. At na karoon ng malaking karagdagan sa liwanag ng medisina. Kung si Andreas Vesalius ay nabuhay sa ating taon, Nobel Prize in Medicine ang nakukuha niya. Nung panahon yun, tinuturing na kalapastanganan ang gambalain ang bangkay. Kaya ang kawawang Vesalius ay pinatay ng simbahan. Ganyan ang nangyari. Pero ang punto natin dito ay, tingnan niyo yung advance. Sa loob ng 1,000 taon, basta nalang tinanggap itong si Jalen ng kanyang malaking kamalian. Pero hanggang ngayon, ang medisina patuloy pa rin ang pag-abante. Patuloy ang pag-uunahan nila ng pagtuklas ng bakuna dito sa AH1N1. At tiyak na darating ang panahon, may biglang bagong sakit, tutuklas na naman sila ng bagong medisina. But the point is that there always will be a space for knowledge, a space for more discovery. So whatever expertise you have in your field, you have not discovered the last. Hindi mo natuklasan yung pinakahuli. Maring may natuklasan kang bago, at magandang bagay yan, but that will not be the last. There will always be space for more research, more discovery. But having said that, it will never amount to omniscience. Laging may puwang para sa mas kaalaman, mas matuklasan, pero hindi darating sa omniscience. Ibig sabihin, yung kaalaman ng lahat. Only God is omniscient. So no field of knowledge or all fields of knowledge combined together will ever be omniscient. Ibig sabihin, it will never have all the answers to life's questions. Wala siyang lahat ng sagot sa lahat ng katanungan. No one branch of knowledge, nor even all branches put together, have all the answers. But it still means, kaya narito yung kasama ng objectivity natin, academic objectivity requires constant inquiry, revision, conclusion, and then going back again to our original questions in order to refine our ideas. But it is sheer arrogance to pronounce on areas that are not our competence. Itong Psalm 131 ay lagi kong binabalikan bilang babala sa anumang kayabangan na madaling dumapo sa atin sa larangan ng kaalaman. Psalm 131 and verse 1. Sabi, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. So here is humility at work. There are things too profound. That includes, of course, questions of God. Do you think you can answer questions of God by simply putting substances in the test tube and coming to conclusions? That's sheer arrogance. And yet, scientists keep doing that. Kung narinig natin dun sa second Sunday natin na maraming mga ganyang scientists na gumagawa ng mga konklusyon dahil lang sa kanilang mga materials. And yet their materials, by necessity, is on a limited area. And they want to pronounce on the infinite. And that's sheer arrogance. Ayan ang dapat nating iwasan. Para bang isang tao na gusto niyang malaman yung kabila ng pader, pero ang taas ng pader, pilit siya ng pilit akyatin, hindi niya maakyat. E sa kanyang frustration, sinabi na lang niya, walang nandun sa kabilang pader. Of course, that's sheer folly. And yet, that exactly is what scientists are doing. Sinasabi nila na hindi makita, walang ganitong pruweba, samantalang ang gamit lang nila, by necessity of science, is observable phenomena. Remember, not revealed phenomena. Observable phenomena. At sa batay sa kanilang material na ng observation, gumawa sila ng mga conclusion. It's just the conclusion of a man who cannot climb the wall. And that's what we need to understand sa ating second proposition. Ikatlo, every area of academic pursuit has a moral dimension and ultimately, divine relation. Ito yung isang kaibahan natin ngayon bilang mga Kristiyano sa paghawak natin ng kaalaman. When we hold any knowledge, it can never be just sheer knowledge. There will be moral dimension and divine relation. Hindi pwede, madalas pag narinig natin ang isang tao, well, my interest dyan is just academic. Pag narinig natin academic interest lang, karaniwang ang ibig sabihin ay it has nothing to do with faith, it has nothing to do with political or any other commitment, just academic. Well, in case of our own theory of knowledge, it can never be mere academic for the Christian because every field of knowledge has a commensurate responsibility for the human community for its good. Sa inyong moral or ethical. And then, accountability to God. Paano mo ginamit, pananagutan mo sa Diyos? So there is ultimate judgment on the way you use knowledge. In other words, we cannot escape the ethics of knowledge. Hindi natin matatakasan ang etika ng kaalaman. Buksan nyo sa Proverbs 3:13 and following. Proverbs 3:13 following, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from hair is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So ito raw dapat ang effect kapag ikaw ay humawak na sa karunungan. Wisdom or knowledge will not terminate on itself. I mean, it is just like, you know, it is better than gold and silver. It must terminate on the good of others. So there is danger in knowledge that is used for evil. And again, this is something that we need to beware. 1 Timothy 6:20-21. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and vain babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you, etc. So, sabi riyan, beware of what is falsely called knowledge. Ito yung knowledge na ginagamit ng mga tao noon na para salungatin ang mga turo ng ebanghelyo. And the knowledge can be used in that way. In fact, it's used often that way. Instead, knowledge must contribute to good works. Meaning, kaya yung pinaliwanag ka ano yung good works, hindi lang ito good works in terms na mabuting gawa, kundi gawang mabuti sa kapwa. It must terminate on the good of the human community. And then for the Christian, knowledge becomes a foundation of faith. It affirms belief and worship of God. Ito yung kaibahan natin sa in the dark ages, nung medieval age, parang ang naging attitude ng mga churchmen ay ayaw nilang yung mga common na mga tao ay makaabot sa alam ng mga clergymen. So, ang daming pinagbawal sa kanilang basahin. Yan yung mga list of forbidden readings. Akalain nyo bang kasama sa forbidden readings na yun ay Bible? Dahil ayaw nilang makaabot ng kaalaman itong mga ordinaryong tao. Gusto nilang umasa sa kanila. Meron silang tinatawag na implicit faith na dapat yung pananampalataya ay nakaasa lamang. Hindi dapat explicit. Yung sa atin, explicit faith, you believe what you know. So knowledge becomes prior to believing. Ang sabi ng simbahan noon, hindi kailangan. Kailangan paniwalaan mo lang yung simbahan at anuman ang tinuturo ng simbahan, alam mo man o hindi, paniwalaan mo. Yun ang implicit faith. Diyan isang pinaghatian ng reformers at ng Roman Catholics. Sa susunod na buwan, ang serye natin dahil quincentennial or 500 years ng anniversary ni John Calvin ay magiging historical yung ating lesson on Calvin and Calvinism. Makikita natin isa ito sa pinaghatian nila. Pero ang mga reformers at ang talagang dapat na pananaw, ang pananampalataya ay nakabatay, nakatayo sa kaalaman. In short, you should know what you believe. And what you know should affirm your belief and should confirm your worship. At itong isang dapat nating pakadiinan. So, an academic exercise that bypasses moral application is a failure. Now, let me make myself clear. Anong academic exercise? Some of you teach, some of you publish, others have other ways of imparting knowledge, maraming iba't ibang paraan ng academic exercise. Well, kasama na siyempre yung mga estudyante. It's an academic exercise for you to study. So, ano man yung iyong academic exercise, isama na natin yung magulang na nagtuturo sa kanyang anak. Tinuturuan niya ng mga pundasyon ng mga kaalaman. That's an academic exercise. Now, any academic exercise that bypasses moral application is a failure. May something na falling short of what it should be. In other words, an academic exercise should have an application that is moral and divine relation. Now, hindi ibig sabihin, niliwanag ko na ito from one of our discussions, hindi ibig sabihin na ang nagtuturo sa eskwelahan ay gagamitin niya yung kanyang oras ng pagtuturo para mag-evangelize. That will be wrong, that will be unethical dahil ang nagbabayad sa iyo ay yung iyong institusyon na hindi naman siguro yung gospel mo ang pinangahawakan. It will be wrong to use the time for which you're paid na mag-evangelize. But then having said that, lahat ng nagtuturo, isang mabuting pagtuturo ay nilalagyan ng aplikasyon. Nilalagyan ng gamit. At isang ikabubuti ng ating itinuturo ay kumabigyan natin ng angkop na gamit na may moralidad at may kinalaman sa Diyos. Ayan ang pag-iisipan natin. Iba-iba yan sa bawat sitwasyon. Gayun man, dapat itong pag-isipan. So those are my philosophical propositions. Let me close with two practical implications. Isang implication ito, yung tamang relasyon o pagtatambal ng ating mga libro at ng ating Biblia. Your books and your Bible. Alam nyo ba na disciplined use of the Bible is a good training for study? Kaya nga, dito natin sinasabing hindi magkaraban yung meron kang doctrinal faith at nalalagay ka sa isang secular school, hindi sila magkalaban. Yung mga disiplinado nga sa paggamit nila ng Biblia, nasasanay sila sa pangkalahatan na pag-aaral. In fact, sa kasaysayan at hanggang ngayon, the Bible has often bred the motivation and attraction to reading. Kung saan pumunta yung mga misyoneryo, isa sa kanilang mga ginagawa ay ilimbag ang Biblia sa lengguwahe ng kanilang mga pinupuntahan at isang nakaka-akit ito sa kanilang mga mission field na mga tao doon na mag-aral, magbasa. Kaya there are many situations when the first attraction to read is drawn by the desire to read the Bible. Kaya yan, makikita natin, walang pagkakalaban ang pag-aaral, pagbabasa ng Biblia sa pagbabasa ng ating mga libro. In fact, yung tamang relasyon niyan, let not your books disown your Bible, but don't let your Bible displace your books. Kapag meron kang mga books sa iyong eskwela, subject, minsan dahil sa kaabalahan mo doon, nawalan ka na ng panahon sa Biblia, huwag mo kaya mangyari iyon. Meron naman na gusto niya talagang Biblia, tinamad sa mga libro niya sa pang-eskwela, mali rin yun. Kaya sa practical na paraan, pagsamahin natin yan. In fact, interest in the Bible will arouse interest in other fields. Ano bang kasama sa Bible pag pinag-aralan mo yan? Hindi ka maaari mag-aral ng Bible, yung talagang seryosong pag-aaral, na hindi mo idurugtong sa history. Napakaraming history niyan. Hindi mo maaring idugtong sa literature. So in other words, with the Bible are other fields of knowledge. So that real interest in the Bible will arouse interest in other fields. And on the other hand, good books will contribute to the expansion of biblical knowledge. Kaya yung mga estudyante, huwag kayong mamili. Yung encouragement sa inyo dito ay, if you are interested in the Bible, let that draw you to your books. And let your books expand your knowledge of the Bible. Magkasangga sila, magkatambal sila. And secondly, ano naman yung relasyon ng your school and your church? Well, dito again, disciplined church attendance trains for schooling. Alam nyo ba, maraming mga great learning institutions ngayon na thoroughly secular na, hindi lang secular, yung iba ay anti-Christian, yet at their beginning, they were thoroughly committed to the Bible. I'm talking of old institutions like Cambridge and Oxford in England, Harvard, Yale, and Princeton in America. Ito yung mga kinikilala mga institusyon, yet when they began, they began with full biblical commitment. Ang ibig sabihin, nagsimula sila na pinagsama nila yung kanilang commitment sa pananampalataya samantalang nagtayo sila ng eskwelahan na nagtataguyod ng kanilang pananampalataya. So, para sa atin, the church must be a place of motivation for academic excellence. Ayaw nating maging sagabal ang iglesia sa inyong kahusayan, sa pag-aaral. I think naikwento ko na sa inyo noon, nung dumalaw rito many years ago, si Lady Margaret Thatcher, one of the best prime ministers Great Britain ever had. Dumalaw siya rito sa Pilipinas at nagkaroon siya ng interview sa firing line ng late Teodoro Benigno. At naalala ko, pinapanood ko yun, at isang tanong na binigay sa kanya ni Teddy Benigno ay, where did you get your character, your personal character? And I'll not forget her answer. Sabi niya, I molded my discipline when my father forced me to go to church. Yan ang sagot niya. Nahubog yung kanyang disiplina nung sa kanyang kabataan, pinwersa siya. Kumbaga sa kanilang pamilya raw, wala nang tanong-tanong. Kaya ano pang mga lakad niya, basta Linggo, we as a family go to church. At yun daw humubog ng kanyang disiplina at nag-spill over sa maraming bagay. At isang bagay ito na totoo pa rin, na when you are trained to go to church and really estimate the church as the institution that God has established for our spiritual learning, eh, dyan tayo mamaintain ang tamang pananaw sa ibang mga larangan ng buhay. Sa tamang relasyon yan, isang ibig sabihin nito ay, beware of school teachers who are without fear of God. Okay, don't say that you're not going to learn from such teachers. You can learn from them. In fact, some of them are very good, but don't make models out of them. Pag sinabi rin natin fear of God, I don't mean that they have to be believers. Maliwanag sa bagong tipan that there are people called fearers of God, but they're not Christians. So, kumbaga, merong level. Merong mga tao, kahit hindi pa Kristiyano, yung kanilang pananaw sa buhay ay may fear of God. Eh, yung ganong mga guro ang mas kilalanin mo. So, beware of school teachers who are without fear of God. But then, let me now speak as a principal of a seminary and a pastoral school. One problem in churches today are preachers who are without knowledge. And I say that not with gloating or with sarcasm. I say that with a bleeding heart, but this is the reality of churches today, that those who claim to preach the Word of God have no knowledge that can match what is there in the secular school. Eh, paano natin tatapatan yun? Ito dapat ang mangangaral. My last text is Ecclesiastes 12:9. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He has pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So the preacher taught the people knowledge. Oh, God forbid that all you get from a preacher is knowledge. There's more to knowledge. There's faith. There's commitment and all that. But then the basis of all is knowledge. And we need preachers of that sort. And one of the clear mandates of Reformation today is to train men who will be preachers who have knowledge in our time. At nang nangyayari, nagiging tampulan ng pangangantsaw ang mga mangangaral ngayon na walang kaalaman pag naririnig sila ng mga nasa secular school. And many times, yung sarcasm sa kanila is not so much for the opposition to the Word of God as because the preacher is uttering garbage of knowledge. And we want to correct that. So ang pinakahuling hamon sa serye na ito, develop a keen knowledge in your academe, but let not that cancel out. Instead, let that add to your doctrinal faith. That's the ultimate challenge. Any question?
Pastor, observation as a teacher. I know, ang tingin ko mga estudyante who are in relation to what you said, yung sheer arrogance, if you apply it to a student, ang observation ko, yung mga students who are not teachable, arrogant, they are arrogant, they are, it's a sure way not to learn. Dun sa mga na-advise ko na in research, for instance, they are the ones who do not advance in terms of knowledge. Kasi parang yung lang kanyang iniisip, yun na yung tama. So I think being teachable is one way to learn and to advance in knowledge. But not being gullible that you believe everything. But as you have said, we have to examine yung academic knowledge in the light of the scriptures. And then secondly, yung... Oh, yeah. I remember students now, even siguro nung di estudyante, we do not have a reading culture. That's my problem with my students. Hindi sila palabasa. I think both Christians and non-Christians. I suppose the decline in the sale of books for now is because we are not reading people, not a reading culture. Maybe it's not just here in the Philippines, but also somewhere else. Pero parang ganon, nag-dwindle na yung love for books, much less yung love for Christian books and the Bible.
Yeah, this is a good and relevant point sa bagay na ito. Maraming mga hindi matuto ay yung pang talagang hindi teachable. And that's already true even among professing Christians in the New Testament. May binanggit si Peter, yung mga nagtitwist ng scriptures, and binanggit niya kung sino yung mga nagtitwist ng scriptures, ang tinawag niya sila na yung mga hindi maturuan, the amathes, they cannot be taught. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3. And if that is true then, still true now. Yung tiwala na sa kanilang little fund of knowledge, and when you're proud of that, and you don't want more to be added, then you don't become teachable. And reading culture, isa yun sa mga, sa aking palagay, dahilan ng pagbaba ng sophistication when it comes to real knowledge, mental, intellectual knowledge, because of the decline of our reading culture. And we need to develop this in ourselves and in our children. Wag lang computer. I mean, wag lang CDs. Whatever place they may have, wag lang yung mga blips ng computer, kundi books. Learn. There's a discipline in reading books that cannot be duplicated in just using the blips of a computer. Other questions or any points you'd like to raise?
We Christians believe in... Of course, we believe in God. God is... I was touched by the nature and the scripture. God created nature, okay. God created nature. If there is no creation, of course, there is no God. Example, the creation of the universe. The universe is very, very, very arrangement. Hindi sila nagbabanggaan. So God created with arrangement. Amen. There is also
namang nagbabanggaan.
Hindi sila nagbabanggaan.
Nagbabanggaan ng stars, ang tawag po riyan ay quasar.
Quasar.
So, nangyayari po yun sa universe.
24 hours a day, it revolves around the earth.
Alin po?
There is yung hindi nagbabago ang oras na tumatakbo sa mundo natin. Because arrangement ng Diyos yun. At saka yung mga... Oh, ang scripture... At saka yung science ay sinasabi kailangan malaman ng mga tao sa Biblia at sa kanilang pag-aaral. Say, for example, yung kidlat ay pinag-aralan ng scientist naging elektrisidad sa panahon natin ngayon. Tama po ba ako? Na naging elektrisidad sa panahon ngayon. Marami pang ibang mga bagay. At saka yung knowledge, ang question ko po ay madali ang knowledge pag-aralan sa mga school, academy. Pero yung wisdom, may diferensya yata yung wisdom at saka yung knowledge na ating malaman sa panahon niya. Ano po ba yung diferensya ngayon?
Well, kuminsan po, ginagamit silang interchangeably, especially sa Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job, meaning, pinagamit sila interchangeably. At other times, merong special usage sa wisdom as that which we live out in life, what we know from God. So either they're both the same, or wisdom, the special sense of knowledge applied according to God's revelation. Other questions? Baka meron kayong karanasan, gaya nung narinig natin nung nakaraang dalawang linggo sa inyo ring karanasan sa academe, whether teaching or academic, other academic exercises na na-challenge itong inyong pananampalataya and how you are able to maintain doctrinal faith amidst secular environment.
Comment lang, Pastor. Kasi I just noticed through the years, marami rin kasi tayong kilalang Kristiyano, it is very ironical that a lot of Christian students, most of them fail in their in the academics. Nakakalungkot. I don't know. They cannot really combine the academe or the academics and their Christianity. Parang their feeling or their behavior is total Kristiyano naman ako, mabait naman si Lord eh. And until right now, I can see a lot of students behaving like that. You know? So, nakakalungkot kung gano'n ang mangyayari. Kasi gano'n ang attitude nila eh. Wherein in fact, hindi nila binibigyan ng kahihiyan ang Kristiyanismo. Sa mga unbelievers, sasabihin nila, yan ba ang Kristiyano? Pabagsak-bagsak. Diba? Nakakahiya. Meron naman na nag-excel pa rin. Pero, kung i-scale natin yan, greatly outnumbered yung mga nag-excel ang mga Kristiyano. I think this is a reality. I don't have the exact data right now, but for the years na ilang mga Kristiyano na kilala ko, nakakalungkot isipin na ganun yung estado. They cannot really combine Christianity and just an observation.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm not sure how accurate it is to say na most of Christians fail. Now, probably you can say that many Christians turn out mediocre than they should be. Whether most fail is open to question. But it is a sad observation indeed na marami ang hindi nila napag-aangkop yung consistency ng kanilang doctrinal faith na dapat ay mas may dahilan sila na maging consistent and excellent in their studies. Jean.
Pastor, related dun sinabi ni Ike at saka yung sinabi niyo na mediocre. May mga estudyante ako who would explicitly say that they are Christians, pero nag-agree ako dun sinabi ni Pastor na talagang isipin mo, it's a testimony, and yet when they submit and participate in class, very mediocre talaga yung performance. So, parang hindi naging enough motivation yung knowledge of the scripture na mag-excel sila in their academics.
Yun ang dapat natin baguhin sa atin, sa pamilya natin, yung mga anak natin, impluensyahan natin so that they really have that inner motivation that precisely because they have been bred in Christian upbringing, beliefs, all the more reason meron sila dapat na magpakahusay sa kanilang pag-aaral. Choi.
Pastor, yung mga narinig ko kanina, I really experienced that, especially sa secular world na nagtatrabaho din. In the fields of accountancy, ay nakakalungkot dahil mayroong mga ibang mga Christian din na nahihirapang i-apply talaga ang Christianity at yung excellence academically. Dahil unang-una pa lang pagpasok sa umaga, time management, ay talagang makikita mo ang diferensya na magpo-photopinin siya between 7:59 and 8 o'clock. Kaming mga superior naman ay we try before the call time ay nandoon na kami. Minsan nga kadalasan kami nagbubukas na opisina, kami pa rin ang magsasara kasi late din kami lumalabas. So, they observe also to, nakikita nila sa amin, especially itong mga subordinates namin, ay bakit ganun daw kami magtrabaho. Yung work attitude namin ay in terms of reporting, timeliness and accuracy ng mga figures, kasi being accountant, ay kailangan namin yon. So bakit kung magbabanggit kami ng mga terms, nahihirapan maintindihan kasi maaaring I believe din dun sa reading culture ay mahina din. Ano? Pero ay dahil isa sa aking job description is to motivate and to mentor yung aking subordinates. So, yun ang aking ginagawang trabaho doon ay hindi lang basta nagmamonitor, kundi patiently talagang tuturuan mo sila every Saturday. Meron kami meeting, so at least 2 hours kung kinukuha, pero binabawasan ko kasi masyadong, sabi ko, self-study kung maaari tayo sa bahay. Para nang sa ganun, ay itong department natin makita na, kasi accounting is parang observation, is a thankless job na we give data, we give information, wala na, ganun na lang. Ano? Para, hindi naman namin sinasabing ma-appreciate naman sana yung ginagawa namin kasi every meeting, we provide an information. Pero na-observe ko rin din sa mga young generation ng mga workers ay talagang siguro nga yung reading culture ay nakikita namin na ano nga talaga, no? Na ma-observe mo pa rin. And then yung stewardship ng time, even sa reporting, makikita mo pa rin. They will confess that they are Christian, pero pag in-evaluate mo na itong mga trabaho nila, balik to na ng balik. And then to the point na siyempre mag-aaway din ngayon kasi meron kang key results area na o yung indicators na hindi ma-meet yung standard. So, kung sinasabi natin, kinukumit natin na tayo ay Christian, let us pakita natin sa mundo na ito ay ginagawa natin for the glory of God at para sa isang kumpanya. Nasa ganun, ay hindi naman tayo mapaya sa Diyos. At mga feedback nga sa amin, ay sabi nga ng ibang kasamahan namin, lilipat na lang kami sa department mo. Kasi ganyan pala ang inyong ganyan yung nakikita namin sa inyo. Sabi ko, siguro, isa yun, disiplina rin. Hindi lang basta sa oras, maging sa mga reporting din. So, yun lang po.
Okay, maraming mga nakadugtong na mga Christian graces dapat yan sa usapin ng pananalapi. Andyan siyempre yung you should be excellent and most important, you should be honest and all that. So, siguro para ma-umpluensyahan mo sila, paalala mo sa kanila na 2 men were directly involved with finances among the 12 apostles. Matthew was the accountant. Judas was the treasurer. So you have... You have both the good and the bad. Yes, Rod.
Pastor, na-mention nyo kanina yung mga preachers na nagpipreach ng garbage. Siguro sila yung mga, hindi sila naging mga good students. Mga tamad sila siguro mag-aral. So, in that sense, Pastor, kung meron kang isang kabataan na nagsabi sa iyo na gusto niyang pumasok sa ministry, na meron siyang calling, would you say na kailangan maging good student ba siya? Or pagpasok niya dun, parang siya magiging good student?
Do you mean pagpasok sa...
Yung prerequisite ba yung being a good student bago ka pumasok sa ministry? Or
well, kung papasok siya sa GMA at meron na siyang precedent ng pag-aaral sa ibang institution, that will be considered. And then may interview, yung opinion ng mga nakakakilala sa kanya will have to be considered. And besides all that, he is given from one semester to one year of probation. At kapag hindi siya nagpakita ng magandang disiplina at mahusay na pagkaunawa, ay he will be asked not to continue. I mean, that's the way we do it sa Grace Ministerial Academy.
I-discourage yung mga sa tingin nyo na hindi talaga qualified siya. No? Hindi sapat yung meron silang sinasabi nila may calling sila.
Well, if it's obvious that they're not qualified both intellectually as spiritually in terms of graces, they're not just discouraged, they are forced to exit in cold blood. And the issue here is, ang pananagutan ko ay hindi lang naman sa kanya, ang pananagutan ko ay sa iglesia ng Panginoon, sa pangkalahatan. And it's not a hindi masarap na bagay ang gawin yun, yet I do it every year to talk to men, tell them na you don't have it, perhaps maaari kang gamitin ng Panginoon sa ibang bagay, pero hindi para sa iyo ang ministeryo. And there have been men who cried before me, begging me, etc. And it still breaks me, but I have to make my heart cold when it comes to appeals like that. Dahil ang nakasalalay dito ay ministeryo. Kapag hindi ka naglagay, o nagbukas ka ng mga tao sa ministeryo na hindi dapat naroon, babalik din sa iyong konsensya. Kaya ganyan yung patakaran namin sa GMA.
So what about those na nasa ministry na, Pastor? Halimbawa, meron silang pinapastoran ng mga churches.
Oh, ganun din. Of course, kapag nasa ministry na, the assumption is kinilala na siya ng kanyang iglesia. So there is more open door sa kanila. Pero probation pa rin. And there have been cases that I asked the person na huwag magpatuloy. Again, for the same reason. He does not have the intellectual capacity nor even the character for it. There's even a case of a man na nagpapalipat-lipat sa pitong iglesia. So kumbaga, pitong iglesia, ba't ibang outreaches ang kumikilala sa kanya. But when he studied sa GMA, I had to show him the door at the end of the probation term. Ang dahilan, again, gusto ko lang ipaliwanag, it's not hardness of heart sa mga nangangaral, kapwa ko pastor, of course, ginagalang ko sila. Pero nandun yung patakaran na ang dapat na nasa ministeryo ay nandun yung mga qualification, kakayahan, and that includes up to teach, intellectual capacity to teach the people of God. And if they don't have that, they have no business in the ministry. I try to do it as respectfully as I could. And lagi kong ginagawang positive, baka tinatawag ka sa mas magiging profitable kang gawain, pero hindi sa ministeryo. Meron pang pagkatapos kong gawin yan, hating gabi na, andyan pa yung text niya. At buong linggo akong ginagabag ng kanyang text. Over the years, I have learned not to be moved by such appeals. And the last point, Jojo.
Pastor Bali, experience lang. Siguro po isang connection doon sa senior ni Ike, yung bisita po natin, kung bakit yung ibang Kristiyano hindi nag-excel sa pag-aaral. Kasi yun din ang nakukuhang turo sa kanilang iglesia. very inferior yung pananaw nila sa academic. Para sa kanila, yung academic ay secular lang. So, dahil doon, ganun talaga po yung kanilang motivation. At kung sakaling mag-fail, parang okay lang po yun sa kanila. Anyway, you have done great things or noble things than your academic vocation. So, ganun po. Yan, naranasan ko doon sa iglesyang pinanggalingan ko. And then, na-realize ko na hindi maganda. At napapasalamat ako at napapunta ako rito, nagkaroon po ng balanced view. At talagang yung mga, kahit yung mga Kristiyanong kasama ko noon, talagang ngayon nakikita ko kung paano silang nagsasuffer dahil sa kanilang pananaw na ganun. At uti-uti sabi ko nga, ito yung tamang pananaw na si-share ko sa kanila. And many ay natututo po at nag-change po ng belief.
Mabuti at so, kung minsan ang iglesia nga ang nagiging hadlang, may na-share si Jean sa atin ng kanyang opportunity na kung nakinig siya sa isang pastor, huwag na natin kilalanin yun, pero baka hindi siya tumuloy sa pagpursu niya ng kanyang thesis dahil discouragement ang humarap sa kanya. And hindi mo naman masisisi yung pastor na yun sapagkat yung kanyang pananaw ay hindi niya nakita. Sa aking palagay, kulang sa tinatawag na common grace doctrine ang mga maraming reformed na mga pastor na isang dapat na baguhin natin. At isa ito sa matututuhan nating pakinabang kay John Calvin na siya, na bagamat matibay ang kanyang paniniwala, ay siya ang nagpalaganap ng doktrina ng common grace na kahit yung mga hindi mananampalataya sa kanilang larangan ay kinakasangkapan ng Diyos. Kaya yung mabuti sinabi ni Jojo na at least dinala siya ng Panginoon sa probidensya na natuto siya ng ibang bagay. Eh, ganong klaseng iglesia rin ang kanilakhan ko, huli na. Huli na ng matutuhan ko at isa lang pastor. At kaya sa pagpapastor ko na lang ibinubuhos yung ganong pananaw at sana makita ko sa inyo ang bunga nun sa inyong kahusayan sa gawain ng pag-aaral. Tayo po'y manalangin. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga napag-aralan namin, maging sa mga patutuong narinig namin sa serye na ito. At ngayon ay dumarating ito sa amin na isang malaking hamon sa aming pag-aaral, sa aming pagkamit ng mga kaalaman. At tulungan mo kami, Panginoon, na talagang matutuhan na pagdating sa lahat ng anumang larangan ng kaalaman, ang Diyos ang pinapalagay sa kaalaman ito. God is our presupposition. He is not the object of our logic. He is not the subject of proof. And there is something fundamentally wrong when our belief in God is only held by our logic. Help us, Lord, to put ourselves under you, under your majesty and sovereignty, and to accept what your revelation tells us. And yet at the same time, magpakahusay nawa kami sa aming pag-aaral, sa halip na maging dahilan ito na hatiin namin ang commitment namin sa iglesia at hiwalayin namin sa aming gawaing pang secular school, naway makita namin na pinagdugtong mo ito ng ayon sa iyong biyayang nagliligtas, gayon din ang biyayang pangkaraniwan at sa pangkalahatan. Nawa makita ito sa amin, sa aming mga nag-aaral, lalo na sa obserbasyon, marami ang hindi nagpapakahusay. They become mediocre and sometimes they even justify it by their faith commitment. May they realize how futile and how wrong it is to justify mediocrity by one's theological loyalty. Instead, our theological loyalty should all the more challenge us in our academic objectivity and academic pursuits. Tulungan mo ang mga naritong ngayon ay nag-aaral ay magkaroon ng motibong Kristiyano na ang kanilang mga natututuhan ang siyang humamon sa kanilang pag-aaral at magpakahusay sila. Gamitin nila hindi lang sa pangsarili, kundi gamitin nila bilang panghubog ng kanilang pananampalataya at pangambag sa moralidad ng lipunan at higit sa lahat sa aming relasyon sa Diyos. Kaya sumaamin ka, Panginoon, sa lahat ng ito, sa pangalan ng Panginoong Jesucristo, ito ang aming panalangin. Amen.